What is your favorite Christmas song? Do you have a favorite? Jingle Bells. We sang that on Friday night too, and all the little kids were up here with their bells. Go Tell It on the Mountain. Somebody else? Silent Night. All right. You know, there's a lot of truth in many of the Christmas carols, and it is a joy to be able to sing them. It was a joy. We were at my granddaughter's Christmas program at Kutztown Elementary School the other night, and they sang several traditional carols in that public school that spoke about the birth of Jesus, and that was a joy. Even though it was pegged as a winter concert or whatever, they sang some of those songs. We're in a sermon series called The Original Songs of Christmas. So far, we've looked at Mary's song and we've looked at Zechariah's song. I would encourage you, if you've not heard those sermons, there is some meat there for you to chew on, and they are available on our website. Today, we're going to look at Simeon's song, and Simeon's song is, is found in Luke chapter 2, and so I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be focusing on verses 21 through 38. It says, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what he said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And we're going to stop there. Our text reveals that Mary and Joseph carried out the pronouncement of the angel. And it was an angel who told them they were to name their baby Jesus. Now, Jesus is a fitting name. It is from the Greek form, the name Joshua. And it actually means Yahweh, an Old Testament name of God. Yahweh, the Holy One, is our salvation. According to the law and according to custom, Jesus was taken to the temple on the eighth day after he was born, and he was circumcised. In accordance with the law, that is where he was given his name, and of course they named him Jesus. Now the couple was not only required to carry out that procedure, but they were also required under the law to present their son to God. And in Exodus it says, you are to give to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. So all firstborn were presented to the Lord. In Leviticus it says, say to the Israelites, a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during her monthly period. On the eighth day, the boy is to be circumcised. They carry that out. Then the woman must wait 33 days to be purified. When the days of her purification for a son or daughter are over, she is to bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or dove for a sin offering. He shall offer them before the Lord to make atonement for her. These are the regulations for the woman who gives birth to a boy or girl. But if she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her and she will be clean. So that is what the Old Testament law said, and that is exactly what was being carried out by Mary and Joseph at that time. It was the 33rd day. Mary and Joseph returned to the temple. They came to consecrate Jesus and to offer those offerings for purification. Now, it appears that Mary and Joseph were of lesser means, because while the law said that they were to bring a year-old lamb, the law also provided that if one cannot afford a lamb, they could bring two doves or two young pigeons. And that is exactly what Mary and Joseph brought. While they were at the temple, they met a man, and his name was Simeon. Now, Simeon, I don't think he appears in any of our nativity scenes. Obviously, this is a little bit after the birth. We're at 33 days after his birth. But Simeon certainly has a message that is significant. You see, Simeon was waiting for a Messiah. That word waiting in the English language is not very descriptive. You know, we go to Walmart and we wait. We go to Boyer's and we wait. We go to the drive-thru at the bank and we wait. We go to the drive-thru at McDonald's or Burger King and we wait. This word means so much more. In the original text, this word waiting means having great expectation, almost as a child waits for Christmas morning to open their gifts. Thanksgiving turkey is barely digested, and they're already thinking about what they're going to get for Christmas. Simeon, being a devout and faithful man, a man who knew the Old Testament scriptures, he was waiting, anticipating that promise. Remember, we said in the Old Testament and here in the early New Testament, those who were faithful were looking for that Messiah. They were believing the promise. And Simeon was waiting for that promised one to come. And so it says that he was righteous and he was devout and that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now let's talk about the current state during this time. Things were not going very well for the nation of Israel. There was very little happening between God and Israel even at this time. You know that there was that intertestamental period. There was no prophet in the land for 400 years. They were under Roman rule. They lost their political independence. They were under the thumb of King Herod. Many people were wondering if the promised Messiah would ever come. And verse 26 reveals to us that Simeon was looking with hope, and he was looking with great anticipation, because the Holy Spirit revealed to him that during his lifetime, God would provide this deliverer, this promised one. We should be living with the same anticipation, by the way, that Jesus could return during our lifetime. But it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before the coming of this promised child. And so Simeon's expectation was looking, but he didn't fully understand, as many people didn't. He was looking for somebody that was going to come and rescue or redeem them from the political climate that they were in. Probably didn't fully understand that this one was going to come and rescue them from an even greater problem, which was the problem of sin. But faithful people were looking, and the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon just at the right time to go to the temple courts just at the right time. You know, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will lead if we're attuned to him. And he led them just as Mary and Joseph were coming to the temple. When Simeon looked at the baby Jesus, who was now about 6 weeks old, he knew that God's promise was kept. Here was the promised one, the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And verse 28 tells us that Simeon reached down and took Jesus out of Mary's arms, and he praised God. Think about this for a minute. How would you feel as a parent if you were somewhere and a man who you did not know came and took your baby from your arms? You'd probably maybe react in a negative way. Maybe it was a bit unsettling. Maybe they too were led by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that. But Simeon took the baby and he began to praise God, acknowledging that not only had God fulfilled his promise to Israel, but God had fulfilled his promise to him as well. So this morning, if you grab your white sheet from your bulletin, I want to share three truths about this psalm. First of all, Simeon sang because God keeps his promises. You know, sometimes we wait, we anticipate. We, you know, in our hearts, in our minds, we believe that God will keep his promises to us. And yet, what happens when we're waiting? Maybe if we're waiting longer than we like to wait, what happens then? Do we begin to wonder or begin to doubt? Simeon was aware that God had promised this deliverer, and he faithfully waited for the promised one to come. He was given special insight by the Holy Spirit. Now remember, Israel, even though there were many who believed in that promise, they did not understand how it would come about. They certainly were not looking for an infant to be their deliverer. In fact, God's people, it says in John 1:11, he came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. He did not fit what they anticipated he would be as the Messiah. And he was even rejected by his own people. Yet for some reason, the Holy Spirit gave Simeon special revelation to understand that this person was the promised Redeemer. And he sang because the promises of God were being fulfilled. And let me remind you that every promise that God gives in his word will absolutely be fulfilled. I haven't done this count, so I'm trusting somebody else's statistics and numbers, but it is said that there are more than 360 prophecies in the Old Testament that spoke of the Messiah or the Promised One. How many of do you think were fulfilled in Jesus? The answer, every one of them. every one of them. Now, I'm not going to share all 360 because we would be here past lunchtime for you. But I do want to share a few, and here we are. In Genesis chapter 3, we've looked at this verse a couple of times throughout this series. God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Did God fulfill that promise? It's written in Galatians 4:4, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights as sons. God promised Abraham that he would bless through him. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. And remember, I told you that Abraham believed that promise, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Was that fulfilled? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Did God keep that promise that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him? Absolutely. The Old Testament scripture said that the Messiah would be of the house of David and an heir to the throne of David. In Isaiah 9, it says, he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Guess what? Luke tells us in chapter 1, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of who? His father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Was that fulfilled? Absolutely. In Isaiah 7, it says this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That was also fulfilled because as we looked in this study previously, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. You know, Simeon was singing because God was keeping his promise to him. And my friends, God will always keep his promises to us. What he says to us in his word, we can absolutely count on. We can absolutely trust. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change his mind. He will never break his promise. We've all had people that have promised us things, who have said, I will absolutely do this for you. And they didn't. That will never happen with God. I can promise you that. Every promise he makes, he will absolutely keep. And that was a reason that Simeon sang. Truth number two, Simeon sang because he had seen the Lord. I want you to think about this. When he looked into the face of this baby, whose face was he really looking at? He was looking at the very face of God. Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit promised Simeon that he would not die until he saw the promised Messiah. Led by the Holy Spirit that day, he recognized that this was the promised deliverer. No wonder he sang. I'm surprised it doesn't say that he jumped and danced as well with all of the excitement. His eyes, it says, saw the salvation of God. He saw the promise being fulfilled. Simeon sang because he saw the Lord. And truth number three tells us that Simeon also sang because Jesus would bring light. In verse 32, he says he is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That should make us sing, okay? And for the glory of the people Israel. You see, Israel believed that they were the ones that would be redeemed by this, okay? They didn't understand that God was also going to save those who were not Jewish, okay? This is prophetic in what he says, that this is a light or a revelation to the Gentiles for the glory of your people Israel. The Holy Spirit revealed that this light would reach all of mankind. He would be a light to all people. Whoever would come, whoever would trust and believe, the vilest of sinners could find forgiveness and salvation. No one would be excluded from that offer. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." You see, everybody was living in the shadow of death. Everybody was living in the light of separation from God. But then John says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." In John 1:9, it says, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." And in John 8, well, skip that. John says, "Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That baby that Simeon held in his arms is the light that would bring hope to Simeon's hopeless world. He is a light to the Gentiles. He is a light that has revealed himself to us. He is the light of the world. No wonder Simeon sang. He held the Messiah. He held the promised one, the Redeemer, in his arms. As we think about this morning, how does Simeon's song speak to your circumstances? How does Simeon speak to your circumstances? Simeon sang because God keeps his promises. You know, as we think about a God who will never change his mind, you know, when we think about the gospel and we think that God says, if you trust in my son Jesus as your Savior, you will be forgiven for every sin that you've ever committed. And you will be given a promise of eternal life. Sometimes that promise seems like it should have a whole lot more detail, doesn't it? And you should live a perfect life, and you should do this, and you should do that, right? And there are many things that we should seek to do when we seek to live our lives and follow him. But the promise, although it seems like if we were creating those circumstances, if we were creating a list of what is required to spend eternity in heaven and receive God's forgiveness, it would probably be a very detailed list, because that's who many of us are by our nature. But God just lists one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There is just one requirement. And that requirement is faith in God's Son, Jesus. Amazing, amazing truth. And he's saying, knowing that, God keeps his promises that those who place their faith in his Son, they will never perish. That's a huge promise. That's a huge blessing. And Simeon understood that. He sang because he saw the Lord. As he held that baby in his arms, he had the very presence of God in those arms. He had an amazing encounter with God. Have you had an amazing encounter with God where you've trusted in Christ as your Savior? And all of a sudden, God's Word was illuminated. God's Holy Spirit came in to take up residence in you. And you knew, like you're, like just as Wesley said, your heart was strangely warm. You knew. There was no longer any doubt. You were certain. Because these things are written that we may know that we have eternal life. Simeon sang because he was face to face with God. Let me ask you this. When is the last time that you were face to face with God? I'm not talking about, okay, I picked up the word today and I went through it or read it. Or, you know, I prayed and I recited the Lord's Prayer and I did this or that. Those are all important parts of our faith. But every once in a while, there's that moment. There's almost like that lightning bolt strike, okay, where you know that was God. That was the hand of God. That presence I felt was absolutely the presence of our God. And that's what Simeon felt as he held that baby in his arms. Simeon also sang because Jesus would bring light into a dark world. Well, is our world dark? If you don't know how dark our world is, you ought to go on Facebook for a while. You'll figure it out real fast, okay? But Jesus is the one that brings light into the darkest places. You know, one of the things that I've had the privilege of being a part of is Celebrate Recovery. And while what happens at Celebrate Recovery is private, I can tell you this. My heart is often overjoyed on a Monday night. Because after our main session, the men split into a group, the women split into a group, and there's often at least one in that group. Many will share, but there's often one that will say, my life was a wreck. You know, I was stuck in addiction. I was overcome by hurts or hang-ups. My life was just on a crash course. And then they'll say, and then I met Jesus. And my life is so different. I don't live for addiction. I live for Jesus. What a joy that is. You know, to know that he is the light in darkness. He is still the one that transforms lives. And I don't know what goes on in your world. I don't know what goes on in the secret places of your life. But I can promise you this. Jesus is capable of bringing light even into your darkest places if you will trust him. We can sing because he is the one who transforms lives. He is the one who transforms families. He is the one who transforms neighborhoods. He's the one who even transforms community, our community. There is an individual who just started coming to our church, just moved to Tamaqua. And he said to me the other night, he said, I believe that there is a wonderful harvest coming here in this community. That the Holy Spirit is working in people's lives who have had nothing to do with the Lord. And all of a sudden, God is drawing people to himself by his Spirit. He's bringing light even into the darkest parts of our community. And my friends, that is a reason, a great reason for us to sing. And we can have a part in being that light. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we thank you for shining your light into our darkness. We thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus, the one who has saved us from our sin. Lord, I pray that as we think about what Simeon sang, that it would penetrate deep into our hearts. Lord, that we would trust your promises, that we would have assurance that we have felt and sensed and seen your presence in our lives. Lord, that you will bring light even into any dark areas of our lives, and you will allow that light that lives in us to be a light to those who are struggling in darkness. Lord, guide us for your glory. Guide us by your Holy Spirit in the same way that your Holy Spirit led Simeon that day. We do pray in Jesus' name.